Happy Halloween, everybody, and welcome to the AVODs 2008 Halloween Special. I'm Count Vargelon.
I am the Dive Mistress.
First up, we're going to talk about Halloween fiction we love, and why, puzzlingly, neither of us has any particular movie that we try to watch every Halloween.
It's true. Strange as it may seem.
So, not even Halloween. You don't watch that every Halloween.
No, I don't. And you'd think that I would. It seems, you know, if this was a movie you were to watch on Halloween, it would be Halloween. But
absolutely, because, you know, it really does have that wonderful Halloween vibe, what with taking place on Halloween every year, which
exactly
kind of what limited Michael Myers as a character, I think.
You think so?
Well, that he was only allowed to kill one day a year.
Well, I mean, does Jason kill only on Friday the 13th?
No.
So Michael Myers should be able to kill whenever he wants.
He should, but he...
But he just hasn't.
Pointedly does not. Are you familiar with all of the Halloween films? Like, when was the last time you saw any of them?
I have seen Halloween, Halloween 2. I have not seen Halloween 3. I think I saw Halloween 4. I've seen Halloween Resurrection. I've seen Halloween on Ice. That's H2O, by the
way. Oh, okay. I was going to ask what the hell Halloween on Ice was.
Yeah. And I think that's it. I don't think I've seen any of the real...
Merman and I tend to call it Halloween Water.
Which is Halloween on Ice.
Is so much less creative than yours, so I completely support that as the new thing to call it. The new sarcastic thing to call Halloween H2O.
But just today, Halloween... I don't know, maybe like 7 or 8. I don't know what number we're up to. Was on TV.
Resurrection is 8. And, okay. And remake is well, you can't count it.
The remake doesn't count.
You can't count the remake. No, the thing is, Halloween 4, right? He breaks out of prison, right? Well, he doesn't break out of prison. He's being transferred from one mental institution to another for no reason. While he's a horrible burn victim after the events of Halloween 2. And after midnight on Halloween, someone mentions that his niece is still alive, and since he loves to kill family members, he wakes up and breaks out. But he only does it after... It only happens after midnight on October 31st, so it is Halloween he's doing the killing. What's even stranger is, in Halloween 5, he has spent an entire year comatose, being taken care of by a pirate hobo. Yeah.
Come on.
There's a reason that do not talk about Halloween 4, 5, and 6 a lot. Being taken care of by a pirate hobo who lives in the sewers with a parrot. I wish anything I just said was a lie, but it's not. He's being taken care of, and, you know, he's basically comatose for an entire year. Like, he walks in after being brutally injured, and under the way I suspect it, 1 minute after midnight, or 1 second after midnight on November 1st, and he just falls over. The guy, for no discernible reason, cares for him for a year. And then 1 year later, 1 second after midnight on Halloween, he wakes up and kills the hobo pirate.
So it's kind of, he sort of works on this time release.
That's what I'm saying.
Evil.
And he's like, he goes into suspended animation for the whole rest of the year. And then boom, the second it's, you know, Halloween, he wakes up and starts killing.
See, but that in itself, though, is kind of interesting.
It is kind of interesting had they ever given it the slightest bit of explanation.
Unfortunately, that didn't happen.
For example, you look at even the original Halloween, it kind of has that effect. Like, we're not flat out told that Loomis is going to pick him up after midnight. But if you look at that film, I mean, it clearly seems to be the middle of the night. And
well, it's late at night, but it's not after midnight because it says October 30th.
It does.
Like you have a title right there.
He is escaping late night the day before Halloween in that one.
Well, he's getting ready for Halloween. He's got to get out the day before.
That's true. So. And the second film, I guess, kind of bleeds. I mean, that film takes place over such a long period of time. that I guess the second film probably bleeds into November 1st.
Well, it's Halloween night, because number two picks up right where number one ends. So it's just kind of like one big whole long night. So I guess you could argue that it's still Halloween.
When he gets burned to death.
Yeah.
You know, that's possible. I hadn't thought about that way. But yeah, the Halloween films had some of the biggest drop-off in quality of any film franchise ever.
Although, wait, I thought of something, though. Halloween H2O doesn't take place on Halloween. It's the Halloween season.
No, it is Halloween. Because but I don't think Josh it's Hartnett.
The 31st.
No, it actually is. Because Josh Hartnett talks for the entire... Well, the beginning of the film isn't, but the main action of the film is, because she specifically doesn't want her son going on a trip and being out of her sight on the day Halloween. Because she feels like she's got to protect him on
she
that
She doesn't
day.
Want him out of sight ever. Because she's an overprotective alcoholic mother.
She does. But I because think I don't, specifically he would
I'm
going
to have to go back and watch
day.
This again, because I'm not 100% sure.
I have watched that movie less than any Halloween movie except for the two after it. Which, come to think of it, isn't really saying a lot.
Wait, there's a Halloween after H2O?
Halloween
and
Resurrection.
I'm not talking about the remake. No, Resurrection was before that.
Jamie Lee Curtis gets killed at the beginning of Resurrection.
No, she fakes her death.
No, she gets killed.
Okay, Resurrection's the one that takes place inside the house, right? And it's a reality
yes,
TV
it's
show?
Yes, it's MichaelMyers.com.
I'm pretty sure that one's before.
I guarantee that it's after. If I would like to go on record now offering to bet money.
Death.
I will bet you money today that it takes place after.
No bet.
No bet. You know I'm right. All right. And since we're not betting money, I'm just going to use the Internet Movie Database to humiliate you. Okay? So there. Done. No. In fact, at the beginning, when Michael Myers is about to kill her, she's in an insane asylum because she's guilty about cutting off that cop's head at the end of Halloween H2O, which is how they explain his death in H2O. Something that Merman and I called walking out of the theater on H2O, which we're really happy about. Like, we got that one dead on. But let's see. Where do you go on the internet to... Oh, right. Movie Connections. I'm trying to remember. I was looking for a sequel button. I gotta admit, it wasn't even close. Like, H2O was 98, Resurrection was 2002. It was 4 years. And the fact that, like, H2O was 1998 and there wasn't really webcam culture before 98 really should have tipped you off that you were crazy wrong.
Wait.
What am I waiting for? At the beginning, she's in an insane asylum because of that, and she flat out tells Michael Myers right before he murders her that Michael Myers will never find her son because he's hidden too well, explaining why they could not get Josh Hartnett back for a sequel.
Then why do I remember something about her faking her own death to get away from him?
There was a reference about her doing that. Like, they say she did that in Halloween H2O. Like, when she's telling Adam Arkin about how she's secretly Laurie Strode, she talks about how she faked her death so that Michael Myers would never find her.
So when would she have faked her death?
At some time between the plots of Halloween 2 and Halloween H2O. In that fiction, none of the middle films happened. It was a total, they erased all of the middle films.
So then that's why I think the resurrection takes place after, I mean, sorry, before
yes.
H2O.
Yeah, but you are wrong. So the thing is, Halloween, I think for each one of those films, they're okay movies, slasher films, but they're not great films by any stretch of the imagination, except for the first one, which is just really darn good.
Yeah.
And it has one of the best posters in the history of fiction.
It does. It is a really, really good poster.
The knife after image.
I was actually thinking
thing.
About that.
It's just, I'm looking at it right now, and I'll put it as the image for this posting, because that is just a beautiful image.
It really is. It's so good, in fact, it can replace all the video for this one.
There you go. Okay, now we have the reason why this is going to be yet another audio-only vodcast. Because what could we show you that's better than just the poster for Halloween?
We can't. There isn't anything.
I think if there's a reason why we don't have any particular horror films, I mean, this is just my guess, and tell me what you think of this theory, that we don't have any particular horror film that we watch at Halloween, I think it really is just because we always watch horror movies. So, whereas there are some people who only watch horror movies around Halloween, you know, hence this whole idea that there's a Halloween film franchise. Now that you go to see a movie every Halloween, people want, and it's the only holiday, I think, where people want to see a movie about that holiday on that holiday. Like, I don't think people necessarily need to see a Christmas movie at Christmas.
But they do. Everyone sees a Christmas movie at Christmas.
Oh, actually, that wasn't clear at all, so let me restate that. People might want to watch Christmas movies at Christmas, but they don't necessarily have to go out and see a holiday-themed movie in theaters every Christmas, right? But every Halloween, people want to go see a horror movie.
That's true.
That's all I meant by that. But you're right. People do want to watch holiday movies at Christmas, but they necessarily, as evidenced by the failure of many recent, you know, it was the only holiday theme movie open at Christmas and it flopped. That has happened a lot recently. By comparison, you open any horror movie around Halloween and it'll make some money.
That's true. But I think also if you just open a horror movie at any time of the year, it's going to make money because people like to go see horror movies.
I mean, it's not universal the way I think opening in a horror movie around Halloween is the safest bet on earth.
I mean, you're obviously going to capitalize on the season.
That's the only point I'm making. But as horror aficionados, yes, as horror aficionados, I don't think we see anything particularly special about Halloween because we're into spooky fiction. Exactly. I mean, for horror fans, it's Halloween year round.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, I think that as big fans of horror, we can offer a recommendation here for the kind of movies that people should make a point of watching at Halloween.
Yeah. That's like a good idea.
Especially creepy movies that you should watch every Halloween. And I think the first one, obviously, is Halloween, because it's Halloween-themed, and it's the only good Halloween-themed movie.
Yeah, definitely.
That's just
a start.
A complete given. What is a movie that you think is particularly creepy?
Really creepy
that people should
movie.
Watch on Halloween?
That's a really tough one, actually.
Yeah.
It caught me off guard.
It did. I'm a monster that way.
Particularly creepy movie to watch at Halloween.
While you're thinking about it, I have something that I'm going to suggest.
Okay.
This one is a little tough, and I'm in no way suggesting you watch it this year at Halloween because it's now Thursday the 30th, so you do not have time to get it. But if you're looking forward at, you know, Halloween 2009, I have a movie that you should absolutely, that everyone should absolutely track down. Especially if they have region-free DVD players.
So this isn't
It's a British film.
It's a British film, okay.
Yeah. In fact, it's not even a film at all. It's a TV movie.
Oh, this gets better and better.
It does. It's a thing called Ghost Watch. Right? Now, you may not be familiar with Ghost Watch. I wasn't familiar with it until someone showed it to me on Halloween a few years back, and ever since then, I've tried to get to as many people to watch it as possible. The premise is that in the UK, they have something called Crime Watch. Okay? Crime Watch is essentially their, you know, Crime Stoppers or America's Most Wanted. They show reenactments of crimes, and then they show the, you know, pictures of the villains, and then they give you a phone number to call in and all of that, right? So one Halloween, the BBC, and apparently it only aired once. They never re-aired it because they got some kind of complaints about people freaking out.
I heard about this.
You heard
actually.
About this?
Yes,
okay.
This rings a bell.
Yeah, it was the British War of the Worlds. They showed this thing, and they didn't tell anyone it was a movie. They got the actual British celebrities who would be on a special like this to play themselves, did it with, you know, a spooky version, a Halloween version, because it was aired on Halloween night, of the Crime Watch, you know, set and format, and played it completely straight in that they were investigating reports of a poltergeist in a suburban house. I'm not going to tell any more about the plot than that, because It's complete cinema verite. I mean, the fact that you'd be watching it on DVD is going to keep you from ever thinking it was real, you know, so it's not going to Blair Witch people. You're not going to think it was real, but it is put together so incredibly well, and it uses the fake documentary format better than anything I've ever seen, that if you watch this in a dark room, I defy you not to be creeped out, because it takes a while to get started before the television show just really starts to go nuts. But by the end of the 2 hours, it's edge of your seat terrified territory, even though it's going to look like a cheesy 80s TV show, you know, from the UK. But it's really just that good. If you can, any way you can get to see Ghostwatch, see Ghostwatch.
I do. I remember reading about that now. That's amazing.
Yeah. And
reading that it was, in fact, yeah, just a War of the Worlds. Everybody thought it was real.
Everyone thought it was real and got freaked out.
Despite the fact that before they actually aired the program, there were all kinds of disclaimers saying, this isn't real. This is total fiction. We're making it up.
Like the actual War of the Worlds, that doesn't help if you tune in two minutes in.
True.
Which is what happened with War of the Worlds. The other thing that happened with War of the Worlds is they turned off their radios, because anyone who's actually listened to the broadcast of War of the Worlds knows that it could not have been intended as a hoax, because after the first 15 minutes, it becomes a narrated first-person story set 2 weeks after the alien invasion. So, people who think that he was actually trying to hoax people, Orson Welles, no, he was not.
No.
Or else the entire show would have been the fake news broadcast, not just the first 15, 20 minutes.
Right, right.
So, is there anything that, you know, you recall as particularly terrifying to you that you think people should, you know, curl up with in a dark room on Halloween night?
Well, just sort of, when you were describing Ghostwatch, you said the word poltergeist, so of course I thought of poltergeist. That's a good one.
Actually, yeah, poltergeist is a good one.
Classic. There was another one, which of course has just left my head. Another classic, you know, like from the 80s. So maybe a bit dated. Oh, Pumpkinhead, that's the other one.
Pumpkinhead, because it's got pumpkin right there in the name.
Exactly. So, yeah. So like not really a Halloween theme, but it's got the pumpkin, like you said. So.
And it's a creepy
classic.
Movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
One thing that I would always suggest, and that I suppose I always go to when suggesting these movies, is Prince of Darkness.
Yeah?
John Carpenter movie Prince of Darkness. When, you know, we can go more into depth about this on another show, but Prince of Darkness is one of the few movies that has ever creeped me out in broad daylight.
Really?
Creeped me out in broad
daylight. Sounds promising.
Yeah, it's a very creepy movie. It's not thought of as one of John Carpenter's better movies, and there's a few reasons for that. I mean, it stars one of the Simons from Simon and Simon. He would then go on to make a movie with Rowdy Roddy Piper, so that was not the bottom of his cinematic casting.
Oh, be nice!
If you were to look at the bottom of cinematic casting, you'd have to say a second lead being played by Daniel Baldwin in the film Vampires. Take that, Baldwin. Why am I mean to Daniel Baldwin?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's just pointless. But seriously, though, Prince of Darkness is another thing I would absolutely recommend people check out if they like just really creepy, slightly cerebral horror.
Right, okay, good call.
And a cute cameo from Alice Cooper.
Aww, that's nice.
One film that I would recommend, if I remembered, but I don't, is Trick or Treat.
Okay. So you really are, you're really sticking with a Halloween theme.
I'm going to come up with, you know, Halloween-themed movies.
I'm just trying to think of scary movies to watch.
I moved on to, I gave you that option because I knew you weren't going to be able to come up with anything Halloween-themed.
Oh, thanks.
It was
thanks.
Just my way of being nice to you.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. No, I do focus on the Halloween theme. So if you think of it any more, please just jump in whenever. But I think now would be a good time to move on to the Halloween franchise of today.
Ah, indeed.
The Halloween franchise that for 5 years in a row, 2004 to 2008, which to someone who wasn't good at math would look like 4 years, but it's not. It's five.
It is in fact 5 years.
It is in
fact. And might I point out, even though it's a Halloween franchise, really there's no need to actually go and see these movies.
Yeah, please.
At Halloween or really any time.
I would really suggest that you not. Is, of course, the Saw franchise.
Yeah. Although I liked Saw, the first one.
I kind of liked Saw 2. Sounded like I was saying I liked Saw 2, which could not be further from the truth.
I enjoyed Saw 2. I didn't think it was terrible like you did.
Yeah, I hated that movie.
I
enjoyed the movie Saw as well. Although I did have a pretty big problem with it, which was that his motivation, I've always found the character of Jigsaw's motivation makes little to no sense.
Well, he's crazy.
I know, but he's crazy, but I don't think the film thinks he's crazy. I think the film thinks he's making a point.
Like, well, the other thing is, I mean, you really don't get into the Jigsaw character, and you don't really understand his psyche and psychosis until Saw 4.
Okay, that is an interesting
point.
And
then you can project back onto the other movies.
If you look at the first film, right, you just look at the content of the first film, you think he's a man who's dying of brain cancer, and so he's sickened to see people wasting their lives, so he wants to teach them valuable lessons about how to live your life. Now, let's talk about that as, and I can't believe I'm going to use, you know, legal terms here, but like constitutionalists do in the Supreme Court, original intent. Because the later films were not written by the guy, like, Saw 4 was not written by the writer of Saw. And although it clearly sets up for a sequel, you have to imagine that they were making Saw, they were trying to tell a complete story.
The first movie.
In the first movie.
Yes.
I think that's fair to say, right?
Yeah.
And he has a clear enough motive that he's trying to teach people to enjoy their lives and to cherish their lives and not waste the blessings they have, because at any moment you could be kidnapped by a man and put in a reverse bear trap.
The only problems with his lessons are that kind of there's no way out. Like,
yeah.
You can't always win.
You can never win.
No, you can. You can.
You can.
Shawnee Smith won.
He did. She did win. She did win.
And, but, you know, if you weren't a moron,
and as the third film
win.
Taught us, that's why all of the ones after Shawnee Smith could not be won, because Shawnee Smith was rigging them so you could not win them. That was the plot of Saw 3, yeah. We find out that the reason all of the ones afterwards could not be won was that Shawnee Smith had rigged them so they were unwinnable.
Oh, I don't remember that part.
Because he was too sick to rig them himself.
Oh, I remember that part, but I don't remember her just going in there and making sure that nobody could win.
That's in there. That's why he, in the third film, they have this whole debate at the end about how she made the tests unfair and, you know, he disapproved of her and he wanted a new sidekick, which is, I guess, why he got Costas Mandylor.
Oh, I really don't remember anything about that movie.
Did you not see
Saw 4?
I saw Saw
4 and was so thoroughly, thoroughly confused by
because
what was
it
going
takes
on
place at the exact
at the same,
same
time.
Yeah.
It was driving me crazy.
That is really confusing.
It is very confusing. And now there's a Saw 5.
Which I have yet to see and which may not see.
Well, I'm going to see it.
You are going to see it, okay.
I don't know if I'm going to see it in the movie theater.
We might wait and do a Saw retrospective when we've both seen Saw 5. But to get back to my point, the thing about Saw was, if you look at it, he had this clear message. So, Dread Pirate Roberts, you know, was maybe considering cheating on his wife because he was unhappy in his marriage.
He called him by his real name.
As you say, Carrie Elwes, and was going to cheat on his wife, maybe, so he didn't, you know, so he deserved to be put in a saw-off-your-own-leg situation. And the film's writer was a private detective, so obviously he deserved to be put in a saw-off-your-own-leg situation. But my question, and this is the thing that I always had a problem with his motivation in the first film, what did the Prefiler do to deserve, you know, like, having poison injected into his veins?
I don't know. You don't know anything about those people.
No, what I'm saying is, like, there are three people who are, like, punished in the film, right? Cary Elwes, the author, and then the guy who he's manipulating to make us think he's the real Jigsaw. Like, you know, the guy, the guy who's the orderly at the hospital who the film wants us to think is Jigsaw?
Because I guess he's wasting his life away too. Oh no, he's not a very good orderly. That's what it was. He was mean.
No, he was nice.
He didn't care about people, but was still in the hospital. Something like that.
No, it was, again, you're thinking of Cary Elwes. He's the one who didn't care. Remember, in fact, they go to the point.
Thinking of Cary Elwes.
No, the point where in this scene, Cary Elwes is treating Tobin Bell like he's just some dude, like he's a case. And it's the orderly who says, "I'm sorry, sir. The patient's name is John," and really sticks it to Cary Elwes by showing how he doesn't care about patients at all. He just cares about disease.
I'm sure there's a reason why the orderly is being punished.
I swear there isn't, because they wanted it to be a twist that it was the corpse on the floor, not the orderly. Oh, by the way, spoiler alert, it was the corpse on the floor. I like that, as if that's a spoiler alert now, after three films have been marketed entirely based on Tobin Bell's face and voice. Oh, no.
And somehow he's in Saw 5, even though he's...
That one I predicted right away, because I knew when I found out that Saw 4 was going to be, you know, taking place at the same time as Saw 3... and was going to be flashbacks about his origin, then they reveal at the end of Saw 4 that Costas Mandylor is the new Jigsaw, then logically Saw 5 has to be, like, the flashbacks to how he was recruited to be the new Jigsaw.
Right, okay.
Because, you know, you don't just wake up one morning and say, "I'm the new Jigsaw."
Well, maybe you do.
Maybe you do, but...
I mean, Jigsaw woke up one morning and decided, "I'm Jigsaw."
That's true. But how would he... What I'm saying is, he had to meet Jigsaw at some point. He had to conspire with Jigsaw. Mm-hmm. You know, and I want to point out that his messages seem to get more and more tenuous with each passing film. Because the first film, guy's cheating his wife. Second film, all of these people committed the unforgivable sin of being framed for crimes by Donnie Wahlberg. Like, seriously? That was why they deserved to be punished? Because they got framed by Donnie Wahlberg? The third film was, a guy should get over his son having been killed by a drunk driver.
Right.
That was the lesson that time. That he shouldn't be angry about the drunk driver that killed his son. And the fourth film was the most retarded lesson of all. You, a police officer, should stop trying to help people.
Oh. I remember that.
Wasn't that the worst message?
I watch this. They're disposable, these movies.
That's the
thing.
You watch
them and then you forget about them.
They're completely like the slasher movies of old. Did I just say of old?
Yeah, you did.
No, they're completely, they're as disposable as any Friday the 13th film.
But yet, the Friday the 13th movies are more memorable.
Yeah, they really are, aren't they?
I think because the Friday the 13th movies, I mean, even though the later ones aren't very good, they're coherent.
Yeah.
And they follow the logic of their reality, and they make sense. And when the movie ends, it's the end.
Right.
There are no residuals. There's nothing left over.
Are you saying that twist culture is what ruins these?
No, I don't think that's the case, because there are movies that have twists in them, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I just think with the Saw franchise, because they're purposely building a franchise. In fact, they've already built the franchise. They're continuing the franchise.
They're purposely milking the franchise.
They're purposely milking the franchise. And so when they, you know, sit down to write each subsequent Saw movie, they need to find a way to tie it into the sort of overall theme of teaching people a lesson and carrying on the tradition of Jigsaw.
Okay.
But they're not, so when the film ends, everything keeps going. So you have these residuals and you get a situation like Saw 4, which takes place at the same time as Saw 3, but it's completely, like, it's impossible to understand what effect is going on anymore within these movies. And now you got Saw 5, where you're going to go back further in time to see how Jigsaw recruits and trains his new protege.
It's not actually further back in time. It would be between his origin story, which was 4, and probably between, like, recruiting Shawnee Smith and the death of Shawnee Smith
More complicated.
Yeah, like the
so you're sort of this like in between phase.
Yeah, like between. So the flashbacks will probably take place between movies 1 and 3.
So unless you've got some kind of system where you can watch all the movies at the same time, you're gonna have a really hard time understanding what's going on.
I gotta say, have you ever heard of The Godfather in chronological order?
Well, you watch, like, Godfather, part of Godfather 2.
This was an actual TV movie. Like, they aired it as, like, a TV miniseries. And on television, they edited all of the films, like, well, all of the films, Godfather 1 and 2, into chronological order and aired it in a miniseries. So it started with the Robert De Niro stuff.
Right.
Then it moved on to the plot of The Godfather. And I think it ended, the first three-hour night ended with Michael leaving for Italy. And then the second movie, the next night, was the rest of the movie, you know, his time in Italy, and then him killing the five heads of the five families, and then the modern day stuff of Godfather 2.
Wow.
It was a terrible idea, but but I would love to see someone do that with the Saw franchise.
Saw. Like, will, take you know, out, and it's, yeah. It's
yeah, take out all of the stuff. Like, start right at the beginning with Cary Elwes mistreating his patient is the first stuff in the film, and then go to the origin stuff of Saw from Jigsaw from 4, and then the punishing of Shawnee Smith.
You've got a flashback built in there. You got to start with the origin of Jigsaw.
No, that happens after Cary Elwes tells him he has cancer.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
No, Jigsaw is created when his wife is killed. Or sorry, his wife is attacked and his unborn child is killed.
But he already knew he had cancer at that point.
No, it's got nothing. No, that's not it.
So apparently now
Jigsaw begins when his son is killed, because when they pull his wife in for questioning, she's like, "You don't know this guy. He plans everything right down to a T." And, like, plan to have, like, to conceive his son and to have his son be born on a certain day.
Oh, no, I totally get that. I understood that completely, but my impression from the film, and, hey, I'll be the first to admit I was not paying that close attention to Saw 4, because, oh my God, how can you? It's Saw 4. But my impression was that whole trying to get his wife pregnant and being determined to have an heir happened after he found out he had cancer, which is why he was so determined to have an heir, which is why losing his son pushed him over the edge.
No, I don't think that's it at all, because she's attacked by, like, a meth head because she runs a rehab clinic.
I remember that.
And I think it's because this guy has been given an opportunity to turn his life around, and he doesn't do it. He messes it up. He attacks the wife for the money, or whatever it was. I think it was money.
I believe it was drugs.
And then disappears into the night. So that's what pushed him over the edge. This guy was given an opportunity
clean
up his life and didn't do it.
No, I'm just saying I'm just saying that him knowing that he had cancer put him in a precarious mental state, that having his son murdered turned him into a killer, and the way his son was murdered designed the manner that his revenge was going to take, But I thought it all happened after he got brain cancer. Because if it all happened before he got brain cancer, then they're just completely rewriting the origin, and the brain cancer is no longer an important part of why he kills people.
I don't think the brain... But I never saw the brain cancer as being an important part of why he's killing people to begin with. I thought the brain cancer was just something that kind of made him make to... Like, that's why he's got to do this now, because he's not going to live forever.
I swear if you watch the film... The first film.
And he's just he's treated poorly by Cary Elwes.
I'm going back to
has nothing to do with the fact
intent.
That he's got brain cancer, just because Cary Elwes is a terrible bedside manner.
That's entirely
possible.
Which
I really
possible.
Hope isn't true.
Again, I could go, if I go back and watch the first Saw, I might feel that way, but I would have to go and watch all these films again, which it's questionable whether I'm willing to do. But my memory of it is, in the first film, he was determined to, it was the fact that they kind of imply, if not outright state, it was an origin comic book that outright stated that finding out he had cancer and that he could be robbed of life at any moment, which is what made him angry at people who wasted their lives. If the fourth film wants to... move that forward.
It.
Yeah,
if that's what the first one is, the fourth one completely goes a different way.
And if it is, then the fourth film is just terrible for completely rewriting the origin. And it's yet another reason to feel complete and utter contempt for the Saw franchise, as if we didn't already have enough of those.
Right.
So
add it to the list.
Add it to the list of things. So if I think we're trying to get one point across here. And really, who doesn't like concise arguments? It's that we as horror fans deserve a better annual franchise than Saw.
That it's, we really do.
And hopefully that annual horror franchise can be 25-8.
Could be what?
Thank you. Thank you so much for not knowing what that is. It's Wes Craven's new movie. I saw Wes Craven at the horror convention, and he was showing footage from 25-8, and it looks terrible. And I'm going to tell you why I've just jumped to a conclusion about 25-8. And much like the TV show Tales from the Crypt Keeper, I am basing my contempt for this entirely based on its title. Said
okay.
Based on twice there, so sorry. Here's what 25-8 means, as told to us in the audience by Wes Craven. If you want to defeat the worst murderer in the world, you're going to have to work at it 24/7. But if you want to defeat the devil, you'll have to go 25-8. So if you want to beat the devil, you're going to have to invent a new hour and day of the week. Which is like, it's like if the movie's title was 110%. It's that stupid. It's exactly what he means. It's that he's found
an awkward
way to
say it. It'd be interesting to see how, if you could somehow chart, movies that have, numbers for titles against their... relative success.
you think there's an article in there somewhere?
1408.
Yeah.
Not good.
No.
Really strong start. I was creeped out.
It has a great opening 20 minutes.
I was scared. And I was watching with a friend of mine. I'm like, I'm not going to be able to sleep after this. I'm getting really scared.
And wow, did it get bad.
And then, it tanked. Tanked.
It tanked so hard. Why? Why did it tank so hard?
I don't know. 976 evil? Okay, that's sort of like half a number, half a word. Also not very good.
I totally never saw 976 evil. I'm so sad now.
You're missing out. It's got a sequel too.
No,
I'm going to watch
really
that
should.
Later.
I really should see it.
And it's taken me months to blog that one.
Yeah.
It's epic. What
wow.
else? What else was there?
Oh my god.
There's that Wong Kar-wai one, which I've never seen.
Oh,
2030
or something, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
The one about the future.
His stuff's pretty good.
Yeah, everybody loves Wong Kar-wai.
So.
Does everyone?
We'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that one.
Okay. So yeah, I think if to reiterate our point, never watch a Saw movie. And if we can get all of you people who listen to this to not watch a Saw movie, then four less people will have watched a Saw movie next year. Right. And if we increase that by like four people every year, then by the year 2183, it will no longer be profitable to make Saw movies.
We're thinking ahead here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Long term.
Now, there's something else I would like to talk about, which is, I think in our childhood, a number of things happened to turn us into horror fans.
Yes.
Or at least, you know, Halloween lovers. And it's not just candy, although that obviously a big part of it. But what I'd like to point out is that there used to be some really good Halloween specials on television.
Tell me about it.
I know. And I just like to talk about some of our favorites. For example, I think one of my favorites was a little something called The Garfield Halloween Special. It probably had an actual title. I don't know what it was.
I've never seen that one.
You've never seen The Garfield Halloween Special, really?
No.
Okay. It has a song in it about him getting dressed up for Halloween and the various costumes he could take. And he winds up dressing up as a pirate, he and Odie. And during their Halloween adventures, they wind up on a deserted island that is inhabited by a 110-year-old man who was the cabin boy on a pirate ship full of dastardly pirates. And he tells them the terrifying story of the pirate ghosts who come every year on Halloween night to take a look at their gold that he keeps buried under the floor.
Oh, it's precious.
And I'm going to tell you, it's surprisingly creepy.
Really?
You wouldn't think it would be creepy, but it is a surprisingly creepy story.
Back when we were kids.
Yeah.
Makes us sound so old. Which really wasn't that long ago.
I know.
Like this children's Halloween specials and just, you know, sort of children's movies in general. Scary stuff.
There was some scary stuff.
Way scarier than what's being produced today.
Oh, God, yeah. There's nothing for kids today. I mean, it's just...
To make them scared.
To make them scared. I'm sure there's plenty of very entertaining shows for children today to watch, but there's nothing really terrifying for them. Yeah, I mean, for example, I mean, just this Garfield special, right? Do you know what the weirdly scariest thing about it was? The ghosts were drawn in a completely different art style than everything else.
Weird.
They were like almost like someone had etched them in with pastels. They had really strange lines to them, whereas everything else was drawn to look like the Garfield comic strip. So they seemed otherworldly and creepy. And it was even creepier in the book based on it, which I got through the Scholastic by Garfield Books program, which I'm sure
awesome.
You'll remember from childhood.
Totally.
Where they, like, you ordered books through the school. And that book was very strange because when I finally saw the animated special a few years later, I was shocked that stuff that I remembered was not in it. Right? Because, and this is the part that was a little weird, it had been in the book and I remembered it being in the movie, but it wasn't. Because in the book, Garfield steals a ring from their treasure. And after he escapes the ghost, the pirate ghosts hunt him down in his own house and threaten him, and he gives them the ring and they go away. But in the cartoon, the ghosts show up to look at their gold, Garfield runs away, it ends. It ends incredibly anticlimactically. But because the book didn't have songs to pad out its length, mm-hmm. it kind of had to, you know, had a little thing at the end of the story, and that was a very scary coda. Right at the end, because you think the horror's over, but he kept a ring, or maybe Odie kept the ring, because he's stupid, who knows. I don't remember the plot exactly, I haven't read the book in 30 years. Well, no, not 30 years. A long time.
Wow, you can't do math.
I'm terrible
it's
at math.
It's like even really simple math.
That was crazy easy math. I have no excuse for that. Wow, what is wrong with me today?
Considering you were not 30.
I know. Yeah.
That's the best part.
I know. It's so sad. Garfield's older than I am, so there's no way he could have been doing children's like books before. Forget it. You know what?
I'm just stop. Just stop right there.
I'm stopping trying to do the math now. Today is not a math day. No, but that was I found it genuinely scary as a kid. You know, I found it very creepy. Not creepy at all, though, The Great Pumpkin.
You know what? I don't think I've actually seen the entire thing.
Oh.
But I think it's because I wasn't, I mean, I liked Peanuts.
Right.
But I wasn't a big fan of, like, Charlie Brown on TV.
Yeah. He was never very entertaining. I always, I gotta say, the parents are just completely absent from Peanuts. And whereas people look at the parent voice on Peanuts as some kind of a nostalgic wah, 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 I was just very annoyed by that. I'm like, why just not have the parents be there? You know? Like, that whole, the voice of authority.
The only one who did the wah, wah, wah was their teacher.
Oh, yeah, I guess she did. But
that's the only adult present. You only ever see her legs. And you just see her make the wah, wah, wah noise.
And I'll tell you, you know what always bothered me about the Snoopy thing?
What?
A, that there was, I think, one where a kid got cancer and died. And I could be completely wrong about this. But I think in one of them, they introduced a new character solely to get cancer and die. I could be totally wrong. No, but what really bugged me was that Snoopy did not speak.
Well, he speaks, well, not in the TV show.
Exactly, in the TV show.
Yeah.
Like, his thought bubbles were what I always thought were among the funniest things in the strip. And in the TV show, he's completely mute. And that really bothered me as a way to take the character.
That's strange.
You know? I think that's fair. Okay, it's kind of, you know, it was a stupid complaint to make, but I stand by it. I have no idea why I think there was a kid dying from cancer in one. But
you must
I
be thinking
really
of something
do.
Else.
I must be thinking.
I can't imagine Peanuts.
They would never have done that.
Like, they would introduce a character just to kill him off.
Absolutely. Like, there's no way they ever would have done it, yet that's what I remember having happen. But the reason I never really liked the Great Pumpkin, so it's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown, is that there's always this undertone in all Peanuts thing that is about how life is failure and depression and, you know, any victory you have will be a small one. Like, the best
I
you can
hope
for.
That's sort of like the classic Christian undertone that runs through
all of his work. Yeah. But I mean, just this idea that the best you can hope for, the best happiness you can ever hope for is cuddling up with a dog. Because happiness is a warm dog.
Okay, I'm gonna let that one go.
You gonna let that one go?
Yeah.
Because were you gonna defend that awfulness?
No.
Okay.
No. But I'm gonna talk about a Halloween special from that I remember.
Okay.
Not very well, mind you.
Please.
But it was The Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Oh God, the scariest thing
Disney
in history.
Disney version.
Yeah.
So good. So good.
That's so incredible.
Oh, man. When the Headless Horseman comes, like, riding down the lane, chasing Ichabod, and then throws a pumpkin at him.
Yeah.
Scary stuff.
That is the scariest thing ever. And
so good.
And Brom Bones gets a song, because it was a Disney special. But I would like to tell you something that to this day sends chills down my spine. Okay. Oh, and by the way, did you know that town recently renamed itself Sleepy Hollow?
Which town?
The town that it was based on.
Oh.
Like, yeah, it was based on an actual upstate New York, Washington Irving. Wow. I'm so happy I didn't humiliate myself by not remembering that. Washington Irving had apparently based the town in the story on an actual small town that
place.
You can recognize because of the way it's built and there being this river and this bridge. But it was not called Sleepy Hollow, and apparently they recently renamed it that.
That's amazing.
For tourist dollars.
I would totally go to a place called Sleepy Hollow.
So internet that bad boy and you'll find out where it is.
Next time I'm driving through upstate New York.
Next time you're driving through upstate New York, which I can't do because I have an outstanding parking ticket. That was a total non sequitur. No, I have a New York State parking ticket that I don't want to get pulled over for. Although, to be fair, it was like I would be driving in a completely different car with a completely different license.
Yeah, I think you're safe.
So the odds of that happening are not good. But okay, I'm going to tell you what sends chills down my spine to this day.
Okay.
And that's the end of the movie. Well, movie, it's half an hour, but you know, probably less.
No, it's a whole hour.
It's not a whole hour.
On TV, it was a whole hour.
On TV, it was never a whole hour. I guarantee that.
I gotta watch this again.
One of us is looking it up. Anyway, God bless you, the internet. Legend of Sleepy Hollow. But anyway, what I was saying was the end of it, right? Is, here's an interesting thing that I only found out just recently. It was originally a segment in a movie.
Yeah, I actually, you know what? I knew that.
You did know that. Okay, because there was a Wind in the Willows movie, and then they also had a Legend of Sleepy Hollow segment, which is pretty cool. Bing Crosby, 34 minutes. So maybe they aired it over an hour with a lot of commercials, or maybe they cut it down to half an hour. I don't know. Anyway, the point I was getting at was the Legend of Sleepy Hollow has the scariest ending in the history of children's fiction. Which is, so you'll remember, he's being chased by the Headless Horseman. Mm-hmm. He's been told that if you can cross the bridge.
The only thing I remember.
If you cross the bridge, you are safe from the Headless Horseman. This is the fact that he is told by Brom Bones, right? And the story leaves it a little open whether that's Brom Bones trying to scare him off or murder him or not, or whether it's actually the Headless Horseman. Because it could be just Brom Bones. Okay? But moving on, at the end of the story, right, he runs and he runs and he runs, and then the Headless Horseman throws the thing and it explodes, right?
Yeah.
And then the narrator kicks in and talks about how Ichabod Crane was never heard from again.
That's right.
And some people believe that he escaped the Headless Horseman that night and moved to another town and married and worked as a teacher and raised a family. And then there's like a drawing of him with a wife and like all kids that look like him and the wife with the big ears and the stretchy neck. Right? You know, some people say that. But the people of Sleepy Hollow know better. And then final shot of rearing up Headless Horseman laughing maniacally. And right now I'm getting a chill talking about it. And yeah. This is one of the things where I don't want to watch it again to find out that that isn't actually how it ended and it has just turned into that in my mind.
No, he gets killed at the end.
But that line about the people of Sleepy Hollow knowing better, that is in there? Because that's the part that creeps me out. The idea that the people of the town, they know better.
And no, I totally remember him dying at the end.
Okay, so we've never discussed this before, so this is a completely independent verification that my memory is not crazy.
The only thing I actually remember of that movie, well, TV, whatever you want to call it.
Whatever it was, yeah.
Is that he's chased by the Headless Horseman.
Right.
The Headless Horseman throws his flaming pumpkin at him. And it's the end of the movie. He's dead.
Wow. I wonder how his comedy donkey did. Do you think his comedy donkey was also killed?
I feel sorry for his donkey.
Now, I would be honest.
I feel sorry for donkeys in general.
Yeah, they are kind of sad. I don't watch a lot of children's fiction today, so I'm not really up on what the modern cartoon Halloween specials are like. The one thing that I'm kind of in touch with.
I don't even know if there are any modern.
Are there? Seriously?
I'm not sure.
Well, it's just. Because like, I think you it's have harder to do a prime
cartoons.
Time.
Like, yeah, you exactly. Have cartoons that do, like, that have sort of, I guess, like a Halloween episode, like a themed scary episode, but they don't go out of the way to produce a Halloween special.
And because of the way cartoons, like no network has cartoons anymore. Cartoons are all syndicated or produced by cable television for the, what do you call it, for Teletoon and the Cartoon Network, right? So yeah. While Teletoon and the Cartoon Network might, like, do a spooky cartoon night on Halloween, because they, like, just produce 13 episodes of a show and then show it year-round, they don't go out of their way to produce a special Halloween episode just to air on Halloween like they used to when it was, a network TV when it was networks who were producing these cartoons for a specific schedule, which brings me to my point, which is the only show that seems to reliably have Halloween anymore is The Simpsons.
Yeah. And that's always something that we look forward to.
Yeah, I do look Treehouse forward of Horror. To that every year.
I would make an appointment to watch that.
As much as I hate The Simpsons, as much as I complain about The Simpsons and despise The Simpsons, I tune in every year for that Halloween special.
Although I have to say that I haven't tuned in the last, 10 years to their Halloween special.
What was the last Halloween special you remember?
Seven or eight?
Seven or eight. So what happened in that?
I don't know.
No?
I'm just picturing the numbers in my head.
You're picturing the numbers.
What's the one where they have that Fox censor joke?
Fox censor joke. Yeah, what was that? I don't remember. That might have been 9 or 10.
The later ones that I remember.
Yeah. Oh, no, wait. I think I know which one it is. I think it's the one with the Omega Man. Where Homer does the Omega Man.
I was talking about that the other day.
Actually. Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a pretty fun episode.
It's a good one.
He kills the Winter Brothers because he thinks they're zombies. It's like a fun episode. And that's the one with the fly.
No, it's not.
It is.
Then it can't be number 10 because the fly is an old one.
No, it's not. It's in it was Treehouse of Horror 8 for the record, but that was the one, and Marge is
also,
a witch.
It does have my favorite joke in it.
Which one?
The matter transporter. It only transports matter.
Yeah, that was a
favorite joke.
That is actually a really good joke. I did like, Floyd the Scrubbing Robot was always a favorite of mine. Sorry, Floyd. Scrubbing is what you're built for, and scrubbing is what you'll do. I did love Floyd. That. Yeah, I did like Floyd the Scrubbing Robot. He's someone I could see. I would like to see Floyd the Scrubbing Robot come back. You know, since they're really scraping the bottom of the barrel for things to make episodes about, let's get that Scrubbing Robot in there. I gotta say, I was very happy. Right? I was always very happy to see a new Springfield Halloween special. And then it kind of got away from horror and into fantasy. And I know you didn't. It's not
good.
Scary and less fun and less, you know.
Well, okay, Time and Punishment, the one with the toaster. I mean, that's not scary.
It's a little scary.
But that was a good episode, though. That was a good one.
Yeah, it was a pretty good one.
And in fact,
I would go out of my way to say that, you know, Time and Punishment is probably the best single story they ever did.
You think so?
I do. Like, do you have something you prefer more than Time and Punishment?
From the Treehouse of Horror?
Yeah.
It's tough. That one's really memorable. I quite like Dial Z for Zombie.
Dial Z for Zombie was great because of Shows
you know,
Over
Shakespeare.
Because
the Blender's got the Gooify option on it.
What? No.
I'm getting confused now.
That's Nightmare Cafeteria.
Nightmare Cafeteria. Damn. Oh, they're all blending together. That's terrible. But yeah, no, Dial Z for Zombie.
Eat Lead Einstein shows, what was it? Eat Lead Einstein, something Washington shows over Shakespeare. Is this the end of Zombie Shakespeare? Yeah, it was the best thing ever.
No, the best one is, dad, did you wreck the car? No. Did you raise the dead? Yes.
But the car's okay. All right, then.
That's the best one.
That is, you're right, that is by far the best one. Here's the problem I had. Right, and I didn't realize how early it started. Right by Treehouse of Horror 10, they were already doing Bart and Lisa Become Superheroes. And they, like, have Lucy Lawless in it, and the comic book guy tries to kidnap her, and it's
I
like...
I remember
That's not even sci-fi. That's like barely even genre fiction. They're just like, it's a silly superhero joke, you know? Like,
that's so true.
There's nothing.
Lucy Lawless flies.
Yeah, Lucy Lawless flies. Xena can't fly. I keep telling you, I'm Lucy Lawless. Yeah, that was pretty funny. But the thing is, I admit that was funny, but I'm just saying they've lost.
But it's not a scary Halloween episode. No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
You know, like, and then in Treasure 12, they did a Harry Potter thing.
Oh. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, they did a pretty good one right after that, which was they did a The Island of Dr. Hibbert, their weird Island of Dr. Moreau thing.
Oh, I
did enjoy that.
See, that's kind of scary. That'd be a good
it
Halloween.
Was. Yeah, it was, absolutely.
Because it's like monsters and things.
The next year, they had Jerry Lewis on as Professor Frink Sr. In their Frankenstein episode. So that was pretty good. Let's see. The Ned Zone. Oh, they did a Dead Zone thing. That's nice.
Oh,
and then they did a Fantastic Voyage one, which that couldn't be less horror themed. Like, couldn't there be anything less horror themed than Fantastic Voyage? Wow. Then they did AI. Oh, wow.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, in 16 they did AI.
16?
Yeah, Halloween. I started this recap at 10, so.
What are we up to now? Like 20? Or
19. 19, because it's
this
year
is
20.
19.
Yes, because it's season 20, so episode 19.
Jesus.
It's always one less than the season. I know, right, 20 seasons of The Simpsons, right?
Unbelievable. I still remember the first one, The Raven.
Yeah, The Raven, and
awesome.
The entire first year was themed around, we were able to get James Earl Jones to be on this show.
And it was awesome.
It was awesome. Wow, what was the weird thing? Here's something that the 16 had an episode about, and is this an existing horror thing, or were they ripping off an episode of Buffy? Because the premise of the episode was, a witch turns everyone into their costume.
That's Buffy.
Yeah, I remember that episode of Buffy, but was Buffy referencing something?
It's
or
also
was
an episode
Simpsons...
of Martin Mystery.
Wow. Before or after the Buffy?
Oh, that's after Buffy.
So,
I think Buffy might have been the first.
Really?
Well, not the first.
I'm just saying.
I'm sure that's been done before.
Okay, because I
But let's.
Heard of it.
If we're going to talk about, like, you know, late 20th
yeah.
century popular culture.
Then it was probably a Buffy.
It reference. Was Buffy. Yeah.
Actually, they've never done a Buffy themed one. It seems like something
Strange.
They've missed because Buffy was pretty popular. Not Simpsons popular, but you know, fairly popular.
It depends on who you talk to.
Well, I'm just saying it had a beloved cult following.
Yes, it still does.
It was beloved by a cult following. The cult following is not beloved. Apparently,
maybe
I forget what part. Apparently, I've also, in addition to losing my ability to do math, sentence construction is lost on me as well. And here's the one where I really had to draw the line, which was last year's Treehouse of Horror, which parodied E.T., which was a little funny because, you know, it was Kang, of course.
Aww, I really Kang and Kodos.
And his sister, Kodos.
Hello.
Just such an... Such a good joke. That and remember, if anyone asks, we're newlyweds on our way to Earth Capital.
Earth Capital.
That
one was less good, though.
That one was less good, but I just loved that cameo. the 18th, but seriously, E.T. and Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Mm.
They did a parody thing where Homer and Marge were assassins.
Yeah,
he didn't
that's
know
not,
they were
that's
assassins.
That's not Halloween.
That couldn't
gonna,
be less
be
Halloween.
A Halloween episode. If you're going to call your show Treehouse of Horror, I think, you know, you have an obligation
yeah.
to stick to the genre.
We give you the slightest pass for doing sci-fi, but that's it.
That's it.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, and we want it to be kind of horrific sci-fi.
Sci-fi and horror, you know.
They're very intertwined.
They merge.
Yeah.
Happy marriage is there.
Especially when it turns out that the door between space Like, the blank space that you jump through when using wormholes is hell. You know, for a movie I hate, I reference Event Horizon a lot.
I know, it's weird.
It's like, on the scale of stuff I hate versus stuff I talk about...
Event Horizon comes up a lot.
Sorry, to be better than scale, on the Venn diagram... Of things I, where one circle is things I hate, and one third, the other circle is things I talk about, the biggest overlap is the area that covers Event Horizon.
Oh, I hate that movie so much.
Yeah, it's a terrible
I really
movie.
Make a point to not talk about it, unless I'm talking about movies I hate.
Or movies where someone take a piece of paper, draw two dots on it, and then poke a hole through the piece of paper after folding it to explain how wormholes work.
I've never done that.
Well, I find myself frequently doing
that. Having to explain how wormholes work.
And then I always bring up, I use the Event Horizon thing. This is just the silliest thing in the whole wide world. Okay, so now that we've... reach the point where we're laughing about Event Horizon, I think we can officially call our Halloween special a day.
Yes, thank you for watching.
Thank you for watching the AVOD,
we
and just
wish you
a Merry Halloween.
A Merry Halloween. I was going to say a Spooky Halloween.
Spooky Halloween works too, but thank if it's you. At all possible...
One-upped me on that one, though.
You're welcome. If it's at all possible, you know, try to watch a horror movie on Halloween to get in the vibe, and by next year, if you could have acquired for yourself a copy of Ghostwatch, you will be the happiest, most freaked-out Halloween people there ever were.
Aww.
And hey, maybe this Saw 5 won't do very well and there won't be a Saw 6. Our little... Now that we're making wishes
for happier and brighter Halloween.
For happier and brighter 2009. Now I wish I had prepared a twist ending. All right, the Dive Mistress is really a werewolf. There. Twist ending. Thank you for listening. Enjoy your Halloween candy, or if you're smart, your November 1st candy. That is some cheap candy on November 1st.
Oh, tell me about it. It's so good.
It's even more delicious because it's a good deal. Or at least that's what us incredibly cheap people think. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.